A three-day ceasefire is holding for now in Gaza and Israel as peace talks continue in Egypt. In Gaza, along with the massive loss of life, many people are also shaken by the loss of a central part of their community, the mosque. From Gaza, NPR's Alice Fordham reports.
Because of the mess, you can't get into the Omari Mosque through the door anymore, so we climb over a pile of rubble and through a hole in the wall, followed by a surging crowd of kids. This isn't the well-known Great Mosque of Gaza, which was not badly damaged, but another ancient mosque by the same name. It's a low building, and the ceiling is made of vaulted stone arches, except where the sunlight comes streaming through a hole in the roof and lands on a pile of ripped-up pages of Arabic calligraphy.
We went through the Qurans. Most were destroyed. Some were burned. We put the rest here. It took 3 days.
That's Mohammed Alouche, who's a 22-year-old student. He shows me round along with Jaudit Najjar, who's 70. They say a mosque has stood here for 13 centuries. Historians reckon the oldest remaining part is the minaret, which is maybe 700 years old and survived the attack. A modern wing did not. It's flattened.
It's a blessing, and it was important to have such a mosque.
2 Saturdays ago, a neighbor got a phone call before dawn. It was the Israelis. They said they would strike the mosque and no one should go to the first prayers of the morning. Frantically, he spread the word. Everyone got the message except the volunteer who was saying the call to prayer, says Alouche.
He said only Allahu Akbar, and then he was blown to pieces.
Israeli airstrikes have destroyed 43 mosques during this last spasm of fighting and damaged 132 more, according to Hamas. Israel says Hamas store rockets in and launch attacks from the mosques. The men here deny it. They say they've lost the center of their community.
We used to feel safe in and around the mosque. After they hit the mosque, we no longer feel safe.
Actually, they say, Hamas didn't like the old mosque much. Najjar, the old man, says the group's conservative brand of Islam frowned on gatherings each year at a shrine next door, where people lit candles and feasted to mark the Prophet Muhammad's birthday. He takes me to see the shrine, where sheikhs going back 500 years have been entombed. So I'm standing in the tomb. There's a green-covered sarcophagus in the middle of the room of the first sheikh who was at this mosque, and a sign up on the wall beautifully inscribed the names of all the sheikhs who followed after him. And it's just covered in debris. The wall is blown in. I meet their descendant, Abdul Karim Hamouda. He usually does the call to prayer, but at 60 is getting a bit old to do the early mornings, the only reason he wasn't killed in the attack.
People started crying at the very beginning of the attack, and they're still crying inside their houses. This place did nothing wrong to anyone.
So I ask, where do you say prayers now? They lead me down an alleyway where the post-war repairs are beginning, reaffixing wires, patching up walls. Men are doing the traditional washing before prayers in what looks like an agricultural trough. And then we're in a shrapnel-pocked warehouse, except now it's a makeshift mosque, hastily carpeted in green. There aren't the traditional carved stands for holding Qurans, but someone's knocked some together from plywood. There are fans jerry-rigged to keep the worshippers cool. Hamouda steps up to the microphone. I meet Hassan al-Mahra, coming to join the prayers. When the Omari Mosque was bombed, we were separated and went to other mosques, he says. He thinks this repurposed warehouse is good because now we are back again, doing prayers in this mosque together, and we're strong because of God. Alice Fordham, NPR News, Gaza.